brother, into your courts I will.
Here, you know someone, could perhaps have been very close to you or you looked up to, that was a saint of the Lord, that was a worker in the kingdom of God, that has died and gone on to heaven. I want you to stand up. You know someone that really meant a lot to you and you was impressed by them. Just look around. Just look around. That means at least that many people are going on that used to walk and carry the word and had a testimony on this earth. Okay? Now be seated. The title of the message this morning is, Who's Going to Fill Their Shoes? Amen. Who's going to fill their shoes? They're not walking in them anymore. And the Lord is looking for someone to fill their shoes. Amen. I have a song at the very end of the message that we'll play, and it's my sister singing, and it's that very song, Who's Going to Fill Their Shoes? Amen. If you have your Bibles, want to turn with us over in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, in verse number 1. While you're turning there, tonight's service is going to be a little different service. We're going to have a healing service tonight. And you say, well, why are you announcing it now? Because I want you to be like that little woman with the issue of blood. She said, when I touch the hem of his garment. And if you're in some kind of need or you know someone in need tonight, you need to come with that expectation that when they anoint me with that oil and when they lay their hands on me, I'm going to receive my healing. That I need in my life, I'm going to receive there tonight in that place. And if you'll make up your mind, all hell can't keep you away from this service tonight. Amen. And I want you to be mindful of the Lord today. All during the day, I want you to be everybody, not just the ones that need something. I want everyone to be mindful of this service tonight. Amen. To be mindful, to be led of the Spirit of God for this service tonight. Amen. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter in verse number 1. He says, Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 5, it says, Surely he hath borne our griefs. I think I was going to verse 5, wasn't I? Let me go to verse 5. So she'll have it up there. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Now you can read it. He was wounded for my transgressions. It would read the same. He was bruised for our or my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes I am healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Verse 8 is where we're going. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And he asked this question, Who shall declare his generation? Who's going to fill his shoes? Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you for this opportunity to stand in your presence to hear the word that you have spoken unto us today. Now, Father, we ask that the food, Lord, that is already nourished, that is already anointed, Father, would go into our spiritual soul. And God, that would send nutrients that we need, that would drive out any doubt, any unbelief, would drive out any laziness, any spiritual laziness. Father, that we would be doers of the work and not hearers only. Father, we love you today and we praise you, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. He says over in Psalms in the 22nd chapter, verse number 30, he said, A seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. He's talking about us here. And they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Amen. We are this generation. You know, he's asking a question in Isaiah when Isaiah is looking ahead to the time when Jesus would lay down his life. He wasn't allowed to finish out his generation here on this earth. And so he was taken. He was given our, he was given his body for our lives. So we are his body now to declare his generation, to fill his shoes to carry on his work. Amen. Filling his shoes is what we're doing, declaring his generation. It says over in Genesis in the 6th chapter, we know that at this time the world was much like today. Because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. And I believe we're living in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. But we know that the world was evil. The Bible tells us there in the 6th chapter that every imagination and thought of man was upon evil continually. But it said in verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then in the 7th chapter in verse 1, it says, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. In other words, he said to Noah that out of all this evil and all that's going on and the evil thoughts and the imagination of man was so evil, but I look at you, Noah, and I see righteousness. And that's what God is looking. He's looking for someone to fill the shoes of those that down through the years, somehow righteousness got to me and you, did it not? Somehow it got to us. Someone had to bring it to us. And now they're gone, so it's our turn to carry this righteous gospel unto the lost and dying in the world. We're to fill their shoes and carry on this gospel. I pray that today that God would look down on this earth and even in this building would find some of us like Noah that would find grace in his sight. Amen. To know that we could hear him say that I look at you and I see righteousness. I see you filling the shoes of righteousness. But we look at the world today. We look at the world today, our generation that we're here. It's much like Jesus said in Luke's gospel in the 9th chapter in verse 41. And it says, and Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? In other words, he's saying, O faithless generation, O people that are without faith. Does it not sound like today's world? People are without faith. Are they without the knowledge of God? They're without the belief in God. There is no fear of God anymore in the land just about. Amen. As we look around, I remember a time when some of our ancestors was walking in their shoes that they walked with a godly fear. Amen. That they would respect the house of God. They would respect the people of God. They would respect the man of God. Amen. But I see a day in which we live now that they're faithless people. There's no respect for the house of God. And there's no respect for the people of God. And there's no respect for God himself. Amen. They're a faithless generation that we're living in today. And God is looking for someone to fill the shoes of the righteous that are going on before us. But he said, oh, faithless, and what's that next word? He said, perverse generation. What is a perverse? Perverse generation means to distort. It's a distorted generation. He's talking here, even in the church world, it is a distorted gospel that they're preaching today in the church world. If a lot of our ancestors came back and some of our nominal churches that's around today and would hear the messages and see the congregation and see their lifestyle and their walk, amen, it'd make them want to turn over in their grave. Can you imagine some of the old saints of old that would come into a place to preach somewhere now, how they would react? They would say, hey, you brought me to a bar somewhere. Amen. Think about it. It means to distort. It means to pervert. It means to corrupt. A perverse generation is a corrupt generation. I like this one right here. It means to misinterpret. Boy, if that doesn't hit the church world today, that they're misinterpreting the Word of God and changing it to suit their lifestyle. They even trying to change the book to fit what they believe and what their lifestyle will accompany. Amen. Jesus had it his day, and he had it right here even today. Amen. But he said in Philippians 2 and 15, he's put a standard for us that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. In other words, God is looking for someone to declare his generation. Amen. He's looking for someone to stand up and dare to be different than the normal in the church world today. Amen. God is looking for someone to stand up and fill the shoes of those saints that are going on. Those saints that carried this word and they stood for righteousness and holiness. Amen. They stood for godliness and kept this thing pure, and he brought it to our generation. And God said, I'm looking for someone that'll just stand up and fill their shoes and get a backbone and carry my word and be the church of the living God and who we should be. That's what he's saying. That's what he's looking for. Someone to fill their shoes. It says over in Ezekiel in the 22nd chapter, it talks there, start about verse 23. When you get home, you can read it. It talks about how corrupt that the prophets were, that they was putting no difference between holy and profane. They was putting no difference between clean and unclean. Sound like the church world today, amen? I mean, they was just hirelings. It was in it for the money. They was fleecing the flock. It said in verse number 30 of that chapter, it says, then I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Amen. Isn't that a sad case that I found none? I wonder if God came through our generation today and he says, I'm looking for someone to fill the Apostle Paul's feet, his shoes, if you will. Brother Steve was talking how this morning in Sunday school, how, and I'm sure the rest of you did, that how that Paul went before King Agrippa and he didn't bow down, but he told him just like it was. Amen. He told him exactly the truth of what he needed. Amen. People like John the Baptist, that would go before King Herod and tell him, man, you're living in sin. You're shacked up with your brother's wife. You're in sin. People that would have backbone to tell people right from wrong. Amen. He says, I sought for a man to make up the hedge. What is a hedge? The hedge is an enclosure. It's a fence. It's a wall. Let me tell you, the church has an enclosure around it. Amen. Amen. Come on. What is the enclosure? Me and you. We are the ones that are on the wall. We're watchmen on the wall, and we're watching out for the betterment of the church of the living God. Amen. We're like Nehemiah, and they're building the wall. And you know, the time they came to Nehemiah and said, hey, come down off the wall and I want to talk to you. And what did he say? Why should I let the work of God cease while I come down there? I'm telling you, I don't have time to go and do those things that the world would drag me aside to do. Why should I let the work of God cease? And let me add this. Why should we let the work of God cease when one of the saints of God dies and goes on? It ought to be somebody that'll step up and take their shoes and begin to carry the word on. Amen. Why should the work cease because someone died? Someone to make up the hedge to stand in the gap. Gap is a break. Let me tell you, the church does not need any gaps in it. Amen? Listen, my dad died a week or so ago, and he went on, and there's a gap in the church because he departed. There's a gap that the enemy can come in. And unless someone steps up and fills those shoes, my friend, that he stood for will die out. Let me tell you,
unless someone stands up and takes his place there and begins to proclaim, amen, what he was proclaiming, deliverance, that God is a good God. He's all good. Amen. Preaching against funny books. Amen. Come on, NIVs and all that mother junk. Amen. You know my dad's message. You know what he preached. Until someone steps in them shoes. Who is proclaiming it? The enemy said, well, he's out of the way now. We can really fool the people. Come on now. A gap means a break. And the church needs no gaps. We don't need no gap. So who is going to fill his shoes? Along with all the others, who is going to fill their shoes? Amen. Ezekiel in the 13th chapter in verse 3, he said, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Boy, that's a lot of people, isn't it? And do what they want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. No. You ought to do what thus saith the Lord. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, not by your own spirit. Your own spirit can lead you into hell. But there's so many following their own spirit. We're going to lead the church in this direction because we can get more people in. What if you got a room full crowd of sinners? What have you got? Nothing. Verse 4. O Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the desert. You know what a fox, you ever seen a fox in the desert? Man, he just runs over here. And, yeah. Where are they going? You ever seen a fox walking? Every time you see them, they're running, aren't they? I don't know where they're going. That's what a lot of preachers preaching. They don't have a clue where they're going. A lot of people sitting under their ministry don't have a clue where they're going. Thank God I know where I'm going. Come on. And I know what I'm going to do when I get there. Come on. And I hope you do the same. Help us. Churches are all kind of directions, aren't they? I mean, you can find them believes this way, this way, this way, this way. They're like foxes in the desert, everywhere. Verse 5, it says, you have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. See, what happened here is people died and no one filled their shoes. They didn't go up and make up the gaps. There's gaps in the churches that sinners can slide right into hell, where the enemy can come into the church. There's no hedge or protection around the church. Let me tell you, you know, we sit back and we say, God, build a hedge around us. What are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to be doing? Amen. Come on. I remember Dad telling about a lady that was in church one time in our hometown, and she was sick and the doctors done give up on her, sent her home to die. Sent her home to die. Church had been mindful of her. Think they might have been fasting, seeking God. Let me tell you, you don't fast to get someone healed. You fast to get your doubt out of you so you can pray for them and get healed. Understand that. And they got up to preach one service, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, now's the time. He just closed his Bible and said, y'all get in y'all's car and follow me. And they went over to their house. And they went in, and she was in there laying on the bed. Doctors done give up. Said, you're going to die. I forgot what disease it was. You're going to die at any moment. It's all over. No hope for you. The church went in there, my friends, and gathered around and began to lay hands on that woman. Daddy said, whenever they was leaving, that woman was standing holding the screen door and waving bye at them. I'm telling you, that's what the church needs. The church needs somebody that'll just stand and feel them shoes of the saints of God that just simply believe God. Glory. He says, where am I at? Verse 6. And they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord said, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Hope in an empty word. He said, have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord said it, albeit I have not spoken. I mean, they're preaching the word as thus saith the Lord. And God said, that ain't my word they're telling you. What did Jesus tell the Pharisees? He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have salvation. Well, brother, if I just go by my feeling... Brother Steve covered that this morning. You don't go by your feeling. Well, I don't feel like going to church today. Well, I guess Jesus didn't feel like going to the Calvary. Glory. If I went by feeling, I'd be quit on God a long time ago. I want to ask you something. How many in here, do you like people? Do you like people? Do you like people? I mean, do we say that, or do we, or do people get on our nerves sometimes? Come on now. I don't know how you can be a Christian and not like people. I don't think you can be a Christian and not love people. Come on, I don't care what they look like. If they're breathing and thinking and they're, if they're dead, I still love them. But John 3:16, for God so loved people that he sent his only begotten son for people. That whatever person will believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think God loves people, don't he? We got to love people. We got to love them enough to tell them the truth. Not condemn them. Ain't no good in condemning. What is it? That scripture goes on. John 3:17. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Anybody could condemn. But that the world through him might be saved. We got to love people, don't we? When you love people, you'll stand in the gap for them. Won't you? Remember over there in Genesis? A man called Abraham. Y'all remember him? The Lord came down to destroy Sodom. Abraham standing in the gap. Lord, wait a minute. I see Sodom. Wait a minute, Lord. What if there's 50 righteous? Would you destroy it? That's intercessory. He knew what that was, that crowd over there was in Sodom. It was a mess. No, I wouldn't destroy it for 50. What about 45? No, I wasn't 40. 30? 20? Lord, if it's 10 righteous, would you destroy it? No, I wouldn't destroy it for 10 righteous. I wonder how low he could have gone. He stopped at 10. Standing in the gap for you. Someone stood in the gap
for me. Isaiah in the 6th chapter. Listen. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. I mean, think about this. You got to understand. He said, in the year, Uzziah can mean flesh. In the year that my flesh that was king died. In the year that I got saved. In the year that I repented. You know, a person that's not saved can't understand why in the world y'all would want to come out here last night and pray for this service today. I mean, it's foolish. Had a meeting. Thank y'all came for the meeting. 40-something people came for the meeting. And thank you for the 10 that came last night to pray. Praise God for you. Help us, Lord. Listen. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting high. The year that I repented, the year I got saved, I got my eyes more off of me and more on what can I do for you, Lord? Whose shoes can I feel? This is what he's saying here. And his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, and twain covered his face, and twain covered his feet, and twain did fly. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and his house was filled with smoke. You see, until now, Isaiah was thinking, I'm all right. It's like the world says. You asked them, are you a good person? They said, yeah, I'm a good person. But really, are they good people? Until we, you know, it's kind of like the scenario with the sheep. And we look out there in that green grass and see, oh, man, look how pretty and white them sheep are. So beautiful white they are in that deep green grass. And then the snow starts falling. And we look at them sheep and how dirty them sheep look against that white snow. And when we begin to compare ourselves to the world, yes, maybe you are a good person according to world standards. But when you pick up the mirror and you compare yourself to what right really is, and that's what happened in Isaiah, he began to look at himself against what right really is. And he says, what did he say? He says in verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. And one of the serpents unto me, having a live coal in his hand, had taken with the tongs off the altar. And he laid it on my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lip, thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Verse 8, listen. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Who is going to fill our shoes? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Here am I, I'll fill those shoes that you need filling. I will step in those shoes and be a prophet unto the Lord. Imagine there wasn't a long line waiting on to fill Isaiah's shoes, nor Jeremiah's shoes, nor Paul's shoes. But thank God for Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Paul, and all the others who did step up and slide their feet into those shoes and carried them. I will go. Deuteronomy 32 and 5. It says, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. A lot of those words, some of those words was added in there. The is and the second, the spot of, was added for better readability. But listen, this is the way the original says. It says, their spot, not his children. Their spot. In other words, when I look around at a lot of Christian people, that ain't his. Come on. When I look at a mama duck walking along and I see a row of little ducks that look just like that duck,
and walking just like that duck and quacking just like that duck and acting like that mama duck. I know that they're ducks, but I see an old buzzard walking around behind it, amen, and squawking and rah, 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 yeah, and doing all kind of commotions around. That is not a duck, amen. Come on. Now, I don't have to be intelligent to know that. Their spots are not his spots. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Deuteronomy 32 and 20, it says, "And I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith." Again, perverse means to be distorted, perverted, corrupted, misinterpreted. Crooked means to struggle and wrestle. He said, they're a crooked generation. It says to struggle. It says to wrestle. What does that mean, brother? They struggle at the word. They wrestle with it. Oh, I don't want to do that. You mean I got to do that too? Oh, I got to do that too. Come on. I want to do what I want to do, Lord. Let me just work my salvation out the way I want to. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. Don't make me come out there. I'm trying to be nice. They're a forward generation. Forward is, it means perverse. It means a fraud. There's a lot of churches that's a fraud. Children in whom is no faith. There's no faith. There's no action word. Faith is an action word. Amen. There's no works of righteousness in them. Galatians in the first chapter, verse 6, Paul said to the church there, he said, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel." I mean, there's revivals that can come through. People, a lot of people get saved, and 3 weeks later, most of them that got saved is gone again. I marvel. Paul went there and he carried them from the Mosaic law over to the grace of Christ. And then they allowed others to come in and begin to tell them and get them back into the Mosaic law. Paul said, "I marvel. You blow my mind. You blow my mind." You stand up and say, "I'm going to fill their shoes." And you go for 2 or 3 weeks and it's gone again. They blow my mind too. He said, "Which is not another." Because the Mosaic law was pointing to Christ, is what he's talking about. "But there be some of you that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." There's a lot of people perverting the gospel of Christ today, changing it, crooking it out, distorting it, misinterpreting the word of the living God. He says, for us though, in Psalms in the 48th chapter in verse 12, he said, "Walk about Zion, go round about her and tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her places that ye may tell it to the generation following." Amen. In other words, we need to mark our boundaries good. We need to instill in our generation to come what the true principles of the righteousness of Christ is. Amen. We need to take what our ancestors has brought to us. You say, I've heard some people say, "Well, they was uneducated back then." Oh, they may have been uneducated, my friend, but I've seen the power of God working in them. And if it takes me to be uneducated to know the power of God, then count me dumb, because I want to know the power of the awesomeness of God. Glory. Mark ye well. Psalms 24 and 3 says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn or vows deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him." This is what God is looking for to carry on his generation. "Who shall declare the generation of the Lord?" Let me tell you, he that's got clean hands. He don't need people declaring the generation of God with dirty hands. Come on. He's looking for somebody with clean hands. With a pure heart. That's not lifted their soul to vanity, emptiness. Sworn deceitfully. That's what he's saying. I'm looking for a generation to fill the shoes of saints that we look up to. So that the next generation comes, they'll look up to you. And they'll say, I want to fill their shoes. Because they was great men and women of God. I ask you, will the generation come want to fill your shoes? Think about it. Are they going to want to fill your shoes? Do you want them to be exactly a Christian just like you? Joshua, the 24th chapter, verse 31. You've heard this right here before. It says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua. Which had, what's that word? Known all the works of the Lord. Now, when the Bible talks about knowing something, like a man knew a woman, they had a relationship. They knew the works of God. They handled, they worked the works of God. They worked the gifts of God. They handled the power of God. They knew how to teach people how to live for God. They had an experience with God. But then it said in Judges in the second chapter, verse 7, it said, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had, what's that word? Seen all the great works of the Lord. Now, when you see something, you've not experienced it. You just seen it. These are the people that were sitting in the pews watching the ones that was walking with Joshua, that was doing the thing. There was preachers and teachers and workers and doers. They was filling the shoes and having experiences with God while the onlookers was watching. This generation of doers died, and then that generation of seers got up. All they knew was what they saw. So there was no experience before the next generation. Just we was telling you what we seen. Telling you what we seen. Telling you little Bible stories. What we seen. What we seen. What we seen. What we seen. And that this generation died. And that generation came up. Verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered to the fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. You talk about a lot of these denominations around. And you go to them and you say, hey, do you believe in speaking in tongues? Oh, no, that's of the devil. They don't know but two generations back that very church they're sitting in spoke in tongues. Are they ignorant? Yes. They don't know that very church. Listen, the church I was raised in, the Church of God, Pentecostal, all the gifts of the Holy Ghost working in them, came out of the Methodists in 1885. They was Pentecostal then. What are you saying, Brother David? I'm saying that when this generation right here dies, the deliverance tabernacle, another generation is going to come up. And I hope to God it'll be people that'll feel the same shoes. Amen? Come on. That even carry it further. That be more on fire even. Amen? That has experienced the thing. But what will happen if it's just a crowd gets up here that has seen it? Then the next generation comes along and it'll be nothing. They'll be up here preaching. Oh, the Holy Ghost ain't for today. In this place. If we don't fill their shoes, some unbeliever will come along and try. Amen. Psalm 78:1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. See, they heard and known. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Verse 6, it says that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them unto their children. Amen. I'm telling you that He said that we feel the shoes of our ancestors, and we've known them, and we're going to teach them to our children, that they will feel our shoes, that they will raise up their children and they'll feel their shoes, that the work of the Lord would carry on. The work of the Lord cannot be just locked into one individual generation. Young people, listen to me. You ought to be seeking God. Put those games up. You ought to be seeking God. You ought to be having an experience with God. I wish to God when I was your age, I'd have had enough sense to do that. When I got saved, it made me mad, Sister Mary. It made me mad. Why did it make you mad, Brother David? Because I wasted all those precious years. I could have been doing an awesome work for God. Amen. There was a lot of people when I got saved that I knew through the years that I may have could made a difference in their life. They died. They died and I did not witness to them because I didn't know myself. You listen to this gray in this hair talking to you this morning. I know what I'm talking about. Then they say, they can't feel Paul's shoes. I mean, this is what they're saying without saying in a lot of places this morning. We can't feel Paul's shoes. We can't feel Peter's shoes. We can't feel a lot of the saints' shoes. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is not for today. So a lot of churches teach that. But listen to this. They distort and they preach falsehoods. Acts in the 2nd chapter, verse 38, listen. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I don't see anybody he left out there. You say, well, brother, he's not talking about speaking in tongues then. Well, what was the people talking there when Peter started preaching? They were speaking in other languages, was they not? Is that not tongues? Wasn't they doing, using all 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost right here? And Peter said, the same Holy Ghost. He didn't say Holy Spirit. He said Holy Ghost. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. What does untoward mean? It means warped. It means perverse and crooked generation. Amen? Those coming in from us this morning. Someone's in here. I don't know if it is or not. Listen. I ask you a couple of questions. Who's going to stand for right? If right is still on this earth when we was born, evidently someone down through the years stood for right. Wouldn't y'all kind of agree with that? Well, I ask you, who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to stand for right? Who's going to stand for right? Who is going to declare his generation? The Mormon church does something I don't agree with, but to bring a point here. One of the reasons they're real big in genealogy, out in Salt Lake City, they have the archives of all the families ever, you know, you can just go search those and do your family tree there. Is that when you are in their church
and you get, I guess, saved or whatever they call it there. I'm not sure on that part. But that what you do, you find out all your family records, and you go and you be baptized for every one of them names in case they didn't get baptized. Now, that's screwy. I understand. I don't believe that way. You know, as a tree falls, that's where it's going to lay. Amen. But that's what they do it. I talked with a guy that was doing it, you know. In other words, what they're doing is saying, I'm filling their shoes. I want to take that same analogy that maybe all you that stood up a little while ago, you knew someone that you looked up to, that you knew was a great man or woman of God, that did a work for God. I want to ask you a question. Are you doing at least as much as what they did, if not more? I think from one generation to the next, we ought to do more because we are built on their works. Did not Elisha do twice what Elijah did? He was built on Elijah's ministry, made it easier for him. We come today, it's some of our ancestors that carried the word. They don't have it. Didn't have it as easy as we got today. They preached without a microphone. They preached in the summertime with no air conditioner. They sat in the church with fans. Come on. They didn't say it's too hot to go to church today. They traveled for miles walking. They go there in the wintertime early and start a little wood stove up. Come on now, church. They love the Lord. Who's going to declare their generation? Who's going to declare Jesus' generation? He said in 1 Peter 2 and 9, he says, but you're a chosen generation. He's chose us to fill someone's shoes. I preached a message one time, Buried Treasures. It's talking about the graveyards, how many people died and carried their treasures and gifts with them. Never used them. Maybe you got treasures God wants to use through you. Will you use them? How many people died that were saints of God that no one filled their shoes? You say, well, boy, there's a mighty man of God. Man, he had all kind of gifts and the power of God, and he died. Those gifts are still here. Did not Elisha reach down and pick up that mantle? And he go over to the same Jordan River. He said, where'd be the God of Elijah? Did not the waters open? Did he not? He left it here, didn't he? Come on, we don't carry it with us. The Holy Ghost is here. I don't need the gift of preaching in heaven. It's for here. I'm going to leave it here when I leave. Somebody better get it. Your chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should, what? Show forth the praises of Him. Declare His generation who hath called you out of darkness to marvelous light. And lastly, Hebrews 11:32. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. It goes on, women receive their dead raised again. All those are gone. All them I just named are gone. All of them is named in Hebrews, the 11th chapter of the Faith Hall of Fame is gone. Who's going to fill their shoes? We are here. Who's going to fill their shoes? Now I want to ask you to respond this morning to what we said. I want us to be like Isaiah, hear my Lord, send me, hear my Lord, let me fill their shoes. got a song that Brother Jeff is going to play. And as that song begins to play, I want you just to respond. I want you to obey the Lord this morning. If you say, Lord, one of the saints that you used mightily is gone on. The ones you stood for, I want to feel their shoes. I want to feel their shoes. Perhaps you don't know one this morning. There's Paul and there's Peter. And great men and women of God. Say, Lord, I want to feel their shoes. I'm here. They're not here, but I am. Send me. Could you do that? In sincerity? Amen. Go ahead, brother. Play that song and obey the Lord. Obey the Lord.
Like old soldiers on the battlefield, they trample sin's brute force. Their love was never ending. They showed us how to care. They're mighty big shoes to step into, but Lord, give me a pair. Who's gonna fill their shoes? Who's gonna spread the news? Who's gonna lay their hand upon this troubled land? Will we be the ones to go in the power of the Holy Ghost? When they go on and they pay their dues, who's gonna fill their shoes? Stars may shine in Hollywood, those who play the leading role. But the warriors of the gospel shine brighter than pure gold. They walk this road as heroes of heaven's hall of fame. Broadway doesn't know their face, oh, but the devil knows their name. Gonna lay their hand upon this troubled land. Will we be the ones to go in the power of the Holy Ghost? When they've gone and paid their dues, who's gonna fill their shoes? Lord, I want to fill their shoes. Don't.